Hallelujah. You know, I should have said for everyone that's watching on the break, at the break, that we're having communion this morning. And but at any given moment while I'm teaching this particular message, you can be preparing. You can hear the TV. Whatever you're watching on, whatever smart device, and you can be listening. It won't take you but just a moment to go to the get something. It doesn't matter what it is. It can be juice of any sort, piece of bread, cracker, something that will give you a symbolism of what we're going to participate with in this morning. So, hallelujah. We welcome all of our friends, our guests, and stay with us for the communion that we'll be receiving at the end of this service. And it's going to be different. I will say that this may be different than any type of communion service that you have participated in the past. You may have participated in some similar, but we're not trying to be different for different sake. I don't know if the possibility exists that someone in this house, in this service today, or someone watching, and I feel prompted right now, so I have to feel that prompting, that if you have not accepted or made the decision to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, today is your day. Today is a day of destiny. Today is a day of purpose. I don't care what, and he doesn't care. I'm speaking on his behalf. He doesn't care what your life has been, how messed up it's been, how perverted it's been, how criminal it's been. Jesus was provided by a heavenly Father to take all of our sins and wash them all away instantaneously. It's not just our walk, but the truth that has been provided by the Word of God tells us that what happens to us, it's not a progressive change, it's an instantaneous change. Some people think they've got to go to church, maybe give money, talk to a pastor or talk to a priest to change their life. Change takes place instantaneous. The moment that you truly commit your life and your entire self to Jesus. It's not a faith in his existence. Most of the world believes in God or a God. That does not secure your eternity. Just saying, okay, I believe in God, or I believe in Jesus, that does not change you. It does not, as Jesus said, born you again or birth you. What happens at salvation is a true birthing. It is a change on the inside, and it takes place in a spirit realm. Now, this is not what I intended this morning, but he's asking me to do this, and I will be obedient. If I were to die in front of you, and I laid down on this carpet, I would still be standing here, invisibly, a full representation of the very person that I'm here, you're looking. Probably a whole lot more acceptable. My appearance, though, you'd say that's him. Because scripturally, and I have this, this is not my teaching today, it's not his teaching, but I can give you like a dozen, maybe, verses that tell us that there's another person on the inside of us. This outside's just a shell. It's a skeletal shell, like a snail lives in a shell, but the real me is inside of me, inside this body. This is not the real me. This carries the real me. And there's a spirit person on the inside of me. And as I said, I promise you many, many scriptures I could give you to tell you that there's the real you that's on the inside of you. You came into existence and you had that person, that spirit person on the inside of this shell called a body. And that's the person that people say, I love you with my heart. Well, we know our physical cardiovascular system doesn't have any emotions. It doesn't love or hate. But the heart we're talking about is the inward person. Science looked into it with psychology and said there is another being in there. It's the subliminal. It's something that we can't explain. There's something beyond the natural. They can see the spirit. They just can't interpret it as pneuma or pneumaticos. You have another person, whether you're male or female. Before Christ, before you meet Christ, that person has a sinful nature. It wants to do bad. Even if you're raised by godly parents, until you're changed, there's something inside there that has a tendency that wants to lie. It wants to maybe steal. And sometimes people are good people and they're saying, you know, I don't like that. But yet they don't understand why that they feel the way they feel about tendencies to men to do things, women to do things that they should not do. And yet it seems like no matter what mom and dad ever told them they shouldn't do, they still keep doing. But I can tell you this, the moment that you are born again, the Holy Spirit, this invisible spirit, he's here, there's angels here, but the Holy Spirit comes into through your body, into your body. And he changes you. You become a new creation. You still look like yourself, but now you've got light on the inside. You may have came in these doors today with a lot of sin in your life, and you are loved by God, and you're loved by us. You may be watching today, and you may have done some incredible bad things last night or contemplated them. But I can tell you this, Jesus Christ died for the unrighteous, not for the righteous. And we were all unrighteous, and we all needed Jesus. No matter what your story is, no matter how horrific it is, or how lily white, whitewashed, it doesn't matter. Every one of us without Christ, if we die without Christ, there is no purgatory. There's no place of in between. This canon of scripture, when I say canon, that's just a fancy word to say there's nothing from the front of it to the back that tells you that anybody can pray for you and get you out of prison, the eternal prison. Can you imagine that? Once it's over, it is over. No contemplation, no crying, no weeping, no wailing, no anything on this earth. After that person draws their last breath, it's over. It's either heaven or hell. It's amazing. People say, well, why would God do that? God, he didn't. He provided that place as a place of punishment for Satan and all of his demons. But then he provided for mankind Jesus, a way of escape to say, I never want anybody to go there. But the choice is always up to humanity. It's always up to you. It's always up to say with simplicity, I don't have to join a church. Church doesn't save you. Thank you for being here this morning. But coming in here did not provide any eternal security for any of us. Giving in the offering doesn't do anything to provide your eternal destiny. One simple act in faith. The Bible says if we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead on our behalf, in essence, meaning that Jesus died for me because what I did last night, and I'm not talking about myself right now, what I might have done many years ago, or many of you that have been born again, it doesn't matter what you ever were. The moment that you say, Jesus, come into my life, I accept the gift of salvation. I accept that you died, went into the ground, into hell, and rose again the third day. And you took all my sin with you. You took my, and I'm not saying anybody in here is doing that or anybody out there, but let's just say you took my fornication. You took my lust. You took my pornography. You took my drug addictions. You took my stealings. You took my lyings, and you nailed it, Father, to the cross, and his name was Jesus. And he consumed all that. He took all that, everybody, that from Adam till the last person that will ever be born, however many years from now, he took all that so that anyone at any time could say, I accept that you died for me. And I'm asking you to come in, and I'm asking you to wash me and forgive me of all my sins. And if you do that, and then if you follow him, you will forever be a born-again believer. Hallelujah. No church that you have to belong to. Thank you for coming to church. It'll grow you up. But it's all about Jesus. Let's pray this prayer together. You're not forced to. I'm just asking you. Let's pray this prayer together, and all those that are watching, because I believe it's significant right now. It's going to be a prayer that many of us have already prayed many years ago, but we're going to pray and ask Christ to truly change our lives. Would you say this with me? Dear Lord Jesus,
I believe
that you died
for my sins.
I'm asking you
to
come into my life.
Forgive me
of all the ugly things that I have ever done from my childhood
all the way to this
time.
Jesus,
I'm sorry.
Father God,
I thank you
for Jesus.
Cleanse me.
Wash me.
Forgive me
of all my
sins.
And I will follow you
all the days of my life.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
If you prayed that,
and you prayed that for the first time,
or you prayed it
and you're coming back,
please see me
after service.
I want to
give you some more instruction,
and
we will help you out
in any way
we possibly can.
Hallelujah.
Go to our website.
We have
a teaching series
there, and then we're
going to develop
a handout.
We're going to give
a handout,
something that we
can put in your
hand.
Carl needs
this in the schools
he's going into,
and we need this here.
Hallelujah.
Wow.
I'm glad I got
notes.
That way
I can stick to them,
because otherwise
we would,
I
either would not get
done, or
we would just,
I'd
have to speed through.
But I believe I
can read through.
And
you stretch your
faith this way, or
as Dave used
to say, I don't
know what that means.
Maybe it means
put your hand this
way and pray for
me as I pray.
Father, I
thank you
for your grace
and
your ability to
say a
lot in a little,
and then,
Father, for us
to receive what
you have for us
today,
and we
thank you for it in
Jesus' name.
I want to speak
to you today about
our spiritual
DNA
family
assignment.
Excuse me.
Our
spiritual
DNA
family
assignment.
And
this is going to be a
little bit different
than
what some may
suppose
concerning our
spiritual DNA,
because I think
we all,
many of us
in this building
and watching, kind of understand that. The DNA, let me just, I'm not even going to try to pronounce this. Any of my I've got some doctors maybe that are watching. I know one particular. I'm not even going to try to, because I'd be humorous in trying. I'm only going to pronounce, hopefully, somewhat correct, the 8-syllable acronym of DNA, which is deoxyribonucleic. Can you say it real quick? It's like saying Paxazani or something like that. By the way, it's Groundhog Day today. Pucks. Okay. Phil, I'll call him Phil. How many of you know Phil's got a wife? Do you know what her name is? Phyllis. Okay. So DNA strands the syllables, acid, is the genetic information inside the cell of a body that helps make people who they are. Think of DNA as instructions for how to make the body, like the blueprints for the house. DNA was first discovered in 1869 by a Swiss scientist, Frederick Mieseker, who isolated it from a nuclei of a white blood cells and called it nucleon at the time. However, the double helix structure of the DNA was not determined until 1953 by James Watson and Francis Crick. Now, I'm reading this for the purpose of most everybody in here are familiar with an acronym, DNA, and then we just tried to give you the syllables of that 8-syllable word. But we understand that it's a genetic code. Does everybody kind of get that? It's a genetic code, and we all have our own particular DNA. And this will make more and more sense to you as you listen to this, and we'll actually involve Scripture this morning. How many of you think we should have Scripture if we're going to talk in the house of God? Hallelujah. The process of genetic science has continued to be discovered and perfected up until the present. In other words, what started in the 1869, it actually began, that science began then, but it has continued and has more been perfected, obviously, here in the 21st century. The science of DNA has provided modern man with an endless capacities never possible before. DNA testing is used for a wide range of purposes, including identifying individuals in criminal investigations, establishing paternity, diagnosing genetic diseases, carrying screening for potential genetic disorders, prenatal testing to detect abnormalities in fetus, newborn screening for treatable conditions, ancestral tracing, and research in genetic variations and disease susceptibility. Essentially, it can be used to identify individuals, diagnose genetic conditions, and access potential risk for inherited diseases based on an individual's DNA profile. It's interesting nowadays what it provides, and I'm talking, and of course you understand that I'm talking primarily in the natural, physical, biological sense of things. Spit in a cup, send it away, and they can tell you everything about your ancestral background. I dare say that many of you that never have, and I haven't yet, Candy did years ago, I'd like to do it again sometime. Amber, Mike, did you do it, Mike? Has the grandkids, any of those? Yeah, so I'm going to do it for fun. But I can tell you this, what many of your grandmas and grandpas told you. You don't have that. You're not that. Well, I don't believe in this stuff. Hey, well, listen, it is real, okay? Candy always, now we're going to double check it, Candy. We're going to send it off. You know, it was 10 years. They always said, she's in Cherokee Indian. She ain't got no Indian in her. None. They always told me my grandmother was Spanish. I ain't got no Spanish in me. They could. How do you know, Pastor? Because Amber got hers, and she doesn't have any Spanish in her, of any sort, unless there's a problem with me. Now's the time to. Now's the time. Let's. Now's the time. Somebody said, "Well, what?" Now I found this out from Amber. I got a lot of Scot in me, Scottish. I mean, I could be cousins with Sir Wallace. Oh, yeah. Maybe that's why I got so much fight in me. I don't know. But we got a lot of Scottish in the Flints, and so. You know, here's one thing I found out. This is great. This is great. And it doesn't come from Candy's, evidently, because we were tracing. Some of my family traces, and I got to find out because Amber had a certain percentage, were mostly Scot, but some of my family tree goes back to some, and I got to read it again. I read through it. African tribe. That's what I'm talking about. Robert, Renee, Robert's coming back next week. Isn't that awesome? Wow. Love it, man. Well, now I got to find out how much. Was what? Yeah, one or two. At least I'm into it, man. Just spit in the cup. And they'll tell you all about, well, mama said I was such and some of that stuff is, you know, factual. And sometimes they just made it up. So let's talk about our general spiritual DNA. So, and because I'm going to transition here in a little bit from a general sense of talking about our spiritual DNA to a more specific sense. Our general spiritual DNA, being born again, makes God our spiritual father. Isn't that right? Yes. And that's everybody on the planet Earth. If they've been born again, doesn't matter what their denomination or their title, what church they go to or whatever, if they are truly been born again. And some people don't know. We're not making something sacred out of the term born again. Jesus used that and it's very spiritual, but some people have been born again, don't know that they're born again. Okay. It's not like, okay, I can define, but they have said in their hearts, come into my life. I believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to God. And they may not be familiar with born again, but they are born again. Okay? So it's not, the term does not birth you. It's the action and the faith. So being born again makes God our spiritual father. We automatically become connected to a worldwide family with the same spiritual DNA. Let me give you some scriptures. You don't have to turn here for sake of time. Let me just read them. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation or creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. This all things become new is a total transformation of your spiritual DNA. You were once a sinner and you liked to sin. Now you're a Christian and you don't deliberately, on purpose, sin. You can sin, but if you do sin, you feel sorry about it. You're like, oh, that's yuck. I don't like that. If you still like sinning after you've been committed and said, I got born again, Pastor, but I still like to sin, well, there's something still wrong. You have not really been born again. In other words, you really didn't mean it when you said it. But if you ever really mean it, you might do something wrong, but you say, oh, I am sorry, God. And that's what it takes to get all straightened out again. 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23 says this, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth from the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The word seed here, when he says being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, the word seed is the word, the Greek word spora. And it's the same word where we get the human male sperm, the word sperm. It means the seed which impregnates, or the seed which begins a germination process. Your germination process went instantly into effect when you were born again. The Holy Spirit, God, does not have physical spora, but God has the Holy Spirit that comes in that seed form and instantaneously grows you into and changes you into another person. Immediate. Let's talk about for a few moments so that you can catch where we're going here this morning. It's very important because we're going to do some things in the close of this service in regards to communion. And I want you to understand how important it is for our unity in what we're doing. Let's talk about immediate spiritual family DNA. And when I use the word immediate, I'm not talking about as in the process of a time. I'm talking about the location of your family. All of you in here this morning have an immediate, I could use other terms, but an immediate family. Those are the ones that you live with or did live with, your children that came from you, or your mother and father. Now listen to this. Just like the natural physical senses, every human being carries the general DNA that makes them distinguishable as human beings. All of us, though we may not have the same DNA ancestral, all of us carry certain traits in our DNA that make us human beings. Can we say amen to that? So we don't have, all of you are humans, right? Yes. Wave at me if you are. You're not the puppy, okay? Hallelujah, okay? So we're not casting out puppy devils today, okay? I love puppies, okay? But just like we have a general DNA that connects us, that spiritually speaking, to every human, every born-again believer, but also in regards to the natural thing, but also we also possess the qualities that distinguish family groups all the way down to, as I said, immediate family. Okay, let me give you a quick example. When I was a kid growing up, and it's been a while, but we did have one a couple years ago, I think now. But when I was growing up, there was the Flints, and then my mom, her maiden name was Thomas. So I grew up, and when I would go to family reunions, now I've met people, and it's always been, and I never say much about it because I never want anybody to feel bad, but I've met people that, like, they say, this is us, or this is me, or there's three of us, and I don't know, I never knew anymore. I don't know if it was an, I don't know if it'd be an exact, I don't, maybe not an exaggeration to say I've got hundreds. I have no idea how many cousins I had. I mean, granddaddy was from a huge family, and they all had huge, I mean, like, you know, there he had seven sisters and another brother, so nine of them, and then they had huge families, huge. And then all of, and then granddaddy had a bunch of brothers. And so anyway, when I would go to a Thomas family reunion, I was like, I don't know all these, I don't know a third of these people. And I mean, hundreds, some, I mean, bunches. And you got to be careful because as a, you know, as a teenager, you got to watch out because you'll be hitting on your cousin. And they, oh, you're my cousin. But on the Flint side, same way, hundred. I mean, just, you have no, and they're all, so if you went and did a DNA test, you could find strands or, you know, of our biological, you could say, yeah, they're a cousin. They're a cousin, or they're a third or fourth or, you know, whatever down the line cousins. But the closer it got to the immediate family, you could also see through DNA, this is your sister. This is your brother. By the way, people have found out, you know, you both parties have to be tested. But if you get tested and your long lost brother or sister, in, you're here in Florida and he's in Oregon, if they get tested immediately, they'll match you up. And daddy wasn't always around, or mama wasn't always, you'll find out. And that's where a lot of modern families have come together and said, hey, we found out we're brothers and sisters, or, you know, I mean, whatever. So what I'm saying is there is a progression of a close circle DNA, and there's an extended DNA out to third, fourth, fifth cousins. Then they can track that. They can let you know that's distant family. This is close family. So we're going to hone in on something here as we go just a little bit further. So that's family reunions. Christianity, listen close. As I wrote these things down this morning, I was listening and dictating and typing these things out. Christianity started as one nuclear family. It was always meant to be one immediate family and never fragmented. Denominations were never in the mind of Christ for his church. It was always the mind of Christ for one immediate family with one immediate vision to harvest the earth and make disciples. Time and man's doctrine fragmented the DNA into all kinds of family groups. Even in the spiritual or spirit-filled churches, there's all kinds of fragmentations. Paul had no thought. He just didn't even, he addressed it, but he had no thought of addressing different types of believers, but he had one family in mind. And this is out of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. And listen, I'll read. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now listen, there is one, this is what he said, there is one body, there is one Spirit. Now, I know the King James may capitalize that, but if you're looking at this properly from a born-again experience and an understanding, and really by contextually, you understand this. When he's talking about there's one Spirit, he's talking about one Spirit that makes us one body. And it's the DNA of the born-again nature. Bob has his own spirit, his own human spirit. But the reason why we are brothers in the Spirit is that he has Christ's spirit. He has the Spirit that came from Christ, which has all the DNA of righteousness and holiness. And he still has his own will, But what connects us is I've got that same spirit, the same spirit of Christ inside of me. So we're connected together in that sense of the word. But we're looking this morning into more of an immediate, when he says here that we have one spirit, he's talking about we're one, we've been unified by this one DNA spirit, which is called born again. Even as you're called into one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Now that he has ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above heaven, all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, pastors, teachers, or some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, this is all, he said this to say this, till, T-I-L-L, or until, we all come unto the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man, grown up. And how does this happen? Because we've got one spirit. We really, our born-again spirit brought us together, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Two more verses. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up, or you could say he was saying that you may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every, this is real King Jamesy, but it's talking about the spiritual growth takes place from a standpoint of unity, and unity brings forth this, the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Thank you. Fellowshipping, listen, fellowshipping with the general DNA, spiritual DNA. Is everybody still with me? Fellowshipping with the general spiritual DNA family is wonderful. But you will never come to fully recognize and engage in your spiritual assignment without full agreement with your immediate DNA family. Are you following me? To accomplish what we must do, there must be a consolidation of our spiritual DNA assignment. Now, I hope I don't lose anybody, but at least you know you're here and you're loved. That's the bottom line. But all you revivalists and those that are seeing me through the camera, you understand this. We all have a kindred assignment. That's connecting us. You could call it Our general DNA was our birth. But what has been engrafted into us, into our DNA, is a spiritual calling and a spiritual assignment in the earth to receive an outpouring like the book of Acts. Now, not everybody understands that. Let me not get away from my notes because we do need to have communion. I'll read that again. It was so good. But listen, fellowshipping with the general, I mean, I can go fellowship with people that they don't even know the term, but they're born, you know, revival, or they don't understand laying hands on this. Fellowshipping with a general spiritual DNA family is wonderful, but you will never come to fully recognize and engage in your spiritual assignment without full agreement with your immediate spiritual DNA family. To accomplish what we must do, there must be a consolidation of our specific DNA assignment. It is not, listen, it's not that others are opposed to what we're doing. They just have no idea They have no idea to what we're saying. The revelation has not developed in their spiritual DNA or their makeup. So everybody understand? Explain, do I need? They can't get it because they're not hearing that. That's not part of our spiritual DNA of our immediate, those that are watching, hundreds may be. Our spiritual DNA of our immediate family is located and defined by the following characteristics. There are multiple millions, by the way. Listen, I want you to get this across. It's not the Family Prayer Center of Immokalee. It's not Grace Christian Center. There are millions and millions. I'm finding out more and more all the time that there are multiple millions, tens, maybe hundreds of millions that really have. Now, don't argue with me on this. I mean, because I understand. Please don't write me any letters or anything. I understand the genetics of our spiritual DNA. We're all connected. But because of our assignment has engrafted a call into our spiritual DNA that begins to, that's not a good word. I want to say segregate, but I don't like the word segregate. It brings us into a cohesion, a focus, so that we're able to understand that we have something that we're joined together with, and we don't demean the rest of the body of Christ, but we say, this is our call, and we've got to be laser focused in regards to our call. Laser focused. And laser focus means you go out and preach to the lost, and they don't know. They're not part of this. They're going to be part of it. You know, the greatest thing about the coming fullness of our revival is this, is that people, no names, they didn't come up with some kind of spiritual pedigree name. The young, the inexperienced are going to grow up so quick in this, and they're going to be the army. They're the army that's going to lay hands on the sick and cast out devils and get people born again. I do need to read, help me, Holy Spirit, stay the course. DNA testing and locating, now I'm talking spiritual things. The DNA testing and locating of others is defined by the speech in the doctrine of what people are saying. Get an amen. Can I buy an amen? The immediate family DNA is located in an end time army. Wave at me if you believe you are part of an end time army. We're not going to hurt anybody. The engrafted word through doctrine and present day speaking prophecies has infused the doctrine that we teach and the prophetic words that you hear, not just from this pulpit, from other places. Listen, I don't listen to a lot of people, but I'm not against. I mean, I know there are hundreds of, there's lots and maybe thousands of men that, I mean, there may be something I'd say, oh, that's not quite, or that's not quite. But listen, I can listen to 10 minutes of someone. I can listen to 10 minutes of someone that I've never heard before and immediately determine if they are in my immediate family group. And if they're not in my immediate family group, I don't disdain them. I just say they're not in my DNA. That's not my DNA. That's not my spiritual DNA. And I hope you made the transition from a general sense of DNA to where we're at as in our call. I can listen to 10 minutes of someone I've never heard before and immediately determine if they are in my immediate family and have received the same assignment for revival and the third great awakening. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. And there's no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. The voice of Joel's army, and I hope most of you understand that. I'm not going to try to back up and qualify that. The voice of Joel's army is a locating voice. In other words, it locates people if they have the voice of Joel's army. It's a locating voice of a particular immediate DNA in the earth with one unifying assignment. We've got one unifying assignment. This voice understands and speaks continually in regards to these things. Listen, what voice, Pastor? Well, it says these things sometimes even unbeknowing to itself, because that's what's it's being fed. That's what's in its DNA. That's the engrafted word that has come in and not only cleansed their souls, but it's also impregnated them with doctrine that is in perfect sync with what their assignment is. Listen, this voice of our particular DNA, this voice understands and speaks continually in regards to these things. It understands that the third great awakening is in progress. If you talk to some other Christian, they say, what? They might not use your terminology, but if they're not aware that there's something present tense happening in the planet that's headed towards something that we've never seen before. It understands that a third great awakening is in progress. It understands that a worldwide revival and harvest is happening now. It's not going to happen. It's in the process of happening now. Our immediate family DNA assignment understands signs, wonders, and all the spiritual gifts of the Spirit are being restored to the church for the purpose of the greatest revival and harvest this world has ever known. It also understands this, that a spiritual military army, according to the book of Joel, is being developed daily on a continual basis. This army, or this immediate, everybody say this with me, just so I know it's my immediate family. My immediate DNA says these things. This army immediate DNA family is endowed. It understands with supernatural signs and wonders. This army, we've heard this recently. This army sees and says. It sees and says. This army sees and discerns into the spirit realm. It ought to be nothing. I think that sometimes people just, it's amazing. It wows people so much. You ought to be able, Christians, with our DNA, Spirit-filled Christians, ought to be seeing into the spirit realm on a continual basis. It ought to be very common for our group to see angels and to see the movement of demonic forces. This is who we are. This is our DNA. This army sees angelic and demonic movement. This army understands this. It is not lingo that holds our DNA strands together. In other words, it's not our smack, it's not our vernacular that holds us together. Our strands of DNA is far deeper than that. It's the fellowship that we have in the Spirit as we go forward in revival. Come on, somebody. This army understands it's not the lingo that holds our DNA strands together. This army has and I'm using the army now, I'm saying the word army, but you could say our DNA, our immediate DNA. This army has an unsaid understanding that holds us together. The divine compass is continually calibrated through prayer. It cannot be faked. You can't fake this. You're either spending time in intimacy and coming out, and nobody's trying to use the lingo to say, I'm one of you. We don't care. I mean, we do care, but it's not a club. It's not a clique. It's not, there's no pecking order to this. You is or you ain't. You're self-induced. This army understands that the doctrine of angels and how to work together with them to accomplish our assignment. Our assignment is absolute. That's what we know. This army stands with the synergy of all our past fathers in faith. I've got one other statement here about their synergy. The synergy of everything that Pastor Dave gave us, John G. Lake, all of the Catherine Kuhlmans, we stand in that platform and in that, the world would call it, which is not the term I would use, energy, but it's the anointing that they released and that they had and brought up into doctrine and truth. And us standing in everything that they prayed in, we understand that this army is going forth in the synergy of our fathers and spiritual mothers of the past. Hallelujah. We're not recreating the wheel, people. We understand that. Hallelujah. This army stands with the synergy of all our past fathers. This army is free from, we're doing good. This army is free from narcissism. Oh, I should have got some amens. Some of you, I wish we could do communion and go home. No, I know you're not. You're listening. This army is free from narcissism. There is no building our fame, our fortune, our church, our ministry titles, not in this DNA. The thought, just listen. The thought is nauseating to who we are to think of separating ourselves from others on an egotistical mentality. Do you know who I am? Do you know what? I'm physically worth, or what my talent is in the body of Christ, or this, you can't even discipline that. The Holy Spirit brings into effect that we all know this. We're on one plane, and that plane is this. We've been called to be servants and to receive His anointing. Our exaltation, here's our exaltation. Our exaltation is the servant's anointing. Give me the servant's anointing. Because with the servant's anointing, I'm endowed with all of the authority and all of the power that's necessary to complete my assignment, which is signs and wonders. Hallelujah. In just a moment, we're going to bring the kids back in here, but we're going to do this a little different, and we're going to do it for a little different from... I'll exhort this for just a moment. I'll read just a little bit more, and then we'll have communion and close. I want you to understand, and I'm not going to go into the full reading of Paul's exhortation in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where he gives the communion service. But communion is this. Communion is communal. And oftentimes, and rightfully so, we focus on the body and the blood, and we say that is for our healing, the healing stripes, as Homer preached on, not just physical, but all the word there is that it healed us spiritually, emotionally. And we focus on those things, and we focus on, but, and that's proper, that's perfect. But we've got to understand this, from the first communion in John 13 through 17, in that communion foot washing service, all the way to the one that Paul instituted in the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 11, there's always the setting, and you can do this privately, but there's always the setting that this is communal. And the reasons why is because it was instituted not only for remembrance, but also for communal, to say we've got the same DNA. We've got the same purpose. And that same purpose was the evangelism of the earth and coming into a place. And it was so communal that Paul wrote, he said, if any of you are, if you have any needs, once you get done with the communion service, wait around and tarry for one another. I believe that's probably the same setting that James was talking about when call for the elders of the church, if you have needs. Because communal was this. Those first Christians understood this. Brother to brother, yours in life and death. The reason why we're so strong is we're not segregated. We will live and die for each other. When we eat this bread and drink this cup, we're not just pledging to God. We're pledging to a DNA call that we have a communal group that says we are taking the harvest of the earth. And it doesn't matter if Caesar kills us. It doesn't matter if the Pharisees take away our livelihood or kill us. It doesn't matter what Satan throws at us. We, the recipients of the book of Hebrews, we will stand strong and we will not give up our faith no matter what happens. We will eat this bread and drink this cup, brother to brother, yours in life and death. I'm not only committing my life to Christ when I eat this bread and drink this cup, I'm committing my life to you. We have the same assignment. We have the same DNA. We will go to death. And that's why they were so, that's why they would cheer each other on when the lions ate them. That's why they would cheer each other on when they were lit as torches. Because they were not segregated. They were one DNA. And their assignment also defined them. It defined their place and their position in the earth. We're going to make some decrees today. So when you get your bread and get your cup, we won't keep you much longer after. We're not belaboring anything, but this is powerful. So if they'll get the kids next door and we'll all stand, and Harry or Robert, either one, come to the piano, please. And if you guys will move this. Everybody is welcome today to receive communion. We don't have a membership role. So everybody is welcome. But when you come today, just receive your bread and juice, and then I'll pray and we'll receive this together. Okay, so everybody, you can come however you'd like, and then you can stand up here or go back to your seat, whatever's comfortable for you. Go ahead, Harry. And Harry needs something.
I got it.
Oh, okay. There. Jesus, please bring us into this outpouring. Let us evangelize. Let us evangelize our streets, the highways and the byways. Let the cripple, the emotionally crippled, come into our services, Lord. We'll take the poor. We'll take the needy. Test us, God. Prove us in a good way. We'll take the outcast and we'll take those who are the top of the chain of life. Jesus, take those that are talented. We'll take those with no talent, the poor, the needy. Build this army, Lord Jesus. Build this army. Fill your house to overflowing. Jesus. Now, if the kids, if they consume theirs too early, don't worry about it. But I'm asking the adults to hold theirs, because we all got a part to play in this. And those of you that are watching by streaming, as Harry continues to play and we have more that are receiving the elements, let me say some things. The family DNA that we have that connects us understands that the power we have, there is a great power in our decrees, and that we are in a constant state of creating. Just like God created, we are still part of that creation speaking. We understand that like God, we're not God, but we understand that like God, we are creating through our decrees pathways and portals of glory for God to invade our communities, our states, our nation, and the entire world. This army and this immediate family that we have understands that nothing happens by chance, and that all things are in existence by this authority. This army understands that they have no, they understand this, and I would appreciate amens to the affirmation of this. This army understands that they have no will of their own. This army understands that they have been bought with a price and are now bond slaves unto Jesus Christ. This army understands that our family DNA, that we must continue to offer our bodies a living sacrifice upon the altars of His will. Thank you for those amens. This army hates, it hates self-promotion, but understands rank and file. This army or this family understands that exaltation is the promotion of the servant's anointing. Serving the nations, not with intellect, but with a supernatural anointing of healing and deliverance. Here's our mantra. Here's our mantra. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me. That's you. To preach the gospel, glory to God, to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The DNA of this family cries out, humble me, O God, for your service. This family does not believe, it does not believe in the foolishness that God sends crippling trials to humble us. But we ourselves humble ourselves with self-induced times of intimacy and the Word of God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now here comes our decrees. And I'm going to try to be slow enough, but each one of these will say, I decree, or we decree. So you'll always remember that. And if you'll repeat after me, we decree that we are part of one spiritual DNA.
We decree that we are part of one spiritual DNA.
One DNA family.
One DNA family.
We decree that we are part of one immediate DNA family.
We decree that we are part of one
immediate family. In the earth. We decree that our lives are not our own,
we decree that our lives are not our own,
but we have been bought with a price.
We have been bought with a price.
We decree that we will serve God's assignment.
We decree that we will serve God's assignment.
for the greatest revival this world has ever known. We decree that there is a third great awakening. We decree that we are in agreement with massive angel activity. Would you say this? Angels come now. Angels come now. We decree ourselves in agreement with the synergy of our spiritual fathers. In agreement with the synergy of our spiritual fathers. We decree ourselves instruments who have and will humble themselves through fastings and prayers. We decree that our bodies are a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable for the service of revival. We decree that signs and wonders work through each of us every day. We decree that we see and say the end result of God's perfect will in the earth. We decree that we stand in perfect agreement with millions of other brothers and sisters who are fellow soldiers in this army. We decree revival in America and in the entire world. We decree billions of souls born again in this worldwide revival. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, as you hold the bread, Father, I pray for your people as we hold in remembrance, and we do this in remembrance, the broken body of Christ. Let the healing virtue of God come into our bodies. And we thank you that you've healed us positionally, spirit, soul, and body. Jesus, we receive this, your body, as brothers and sisters in Christ with one agreement in the earth. Would you say this with me? I say brother to brother, yours in life and death. We bless the bread in Jesus' name. Let's all partake. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for the communal cup, the blood that has washed us. Lord, please send the harvest to Immokalee like never before. We pray you'll bring them in here, and as you will, that you'll send many of us as you will, for we're all sent but on specific assignments. The washing, we drink this cup today in remembrance of your blood that was shed not only for our sins but for theirs. Bring in the prostitutes. Please bring in the prostitutes. Please bring in the homosexuals. Please bring in the deviant, those that are wasting away, the drug addicts. Please bring in the high society people that need you just as much. The millionaires, the accomplished. Let us all drink of one cup in the Spirit and continue to isolate a more defined DNA for an assignment in the planet. This earth is in a harvest, and we join with our decrees, and we drink this cup together, brother to brother, ours in life and death. And we bless the cup in Jesus' name. Amen.